ads being put out.
These ads, and I remember Proposition 1, I believe it was Prop 1, to kind of give SB 21 its blessing by the voters. And that ad campaign was, this will save Alaskan jobs. This will put more money in Alaskans' pockets. And then the vote happened on a Tuesday. They won. And on Wednesday, BP fired 455 workers. Literally the next day. I don't
see... It's been continuous. You know, I mean, it went from 14,765 workers down to 11,000 in 2016, down to 9,700 in 2017, down to 9,300 in 2018, and now we know it's a lot less. And in there, you can go to that Learn More section and find all of the details and everything else. I'm happy to talk to folks if they want some other details too. They could call me. It's 907-299-3434. Mm-hmm. And I'd be happy to share. I don't know how long we have here on the program, but you know, there are aspects of this. One, right now the legislature cannot see any of the background information on any of the expenses on these oil fields. It's all, quote, confidential information. And so when we're doing anything, we can't see it. Well, this would change that. So at least the taxes and the tax calculations, the expenditures that are deducted from taxes, that would be available to the legislature and the public. I mean, it's our oil. We ought to know what the revenue is, what the profits are, what the expenditures are in getting that oil up, and how those taxes are calculated. But, you know, the legislature's in the dark. They can't tell you. I mean, if they wanted to know something about Exxon's expenditures in Prudhoe Bay, zero information you can get. You can't get any of them. So the only one that we know is ConocoPhillips, because when the big sale was made back way back when with ARCO and all, they were required by the Federal Trade Commission to do SEC filings, and they report Alaska separately. And that's how we know that this is the most profitable area in the world for ConocoPhillips, because they're required by federal law to report Alaska separately.
I've been told that the oil companies make more money in Alaska than anywhere in the world, and that's how we know from ConocoPhillips and their production, their numbers. And it's crazy that they make the most money in Alaska.
Yeah, it sure is. And it is just a really terrible situation that we don't have a better deal. I mean, you know, when all this was going forward, there were these charts that came out, and you could see where every, by the consultant, they had all these worldwide production graphs and figures, and those are available if somebody wants to see it. They can go to the House Bill 288 from 2018 in the Resources Committee. ConocoPhillips made this presentation, and they show what they're making here at all different prices of oil under SB 21. And they're making it at $65 a barrel. They're making 48%.
Wow.
But remember, they were supposed to be getting a third back when Hammond was here. And, you know, so they never hardly get down to a third. So anyway, it's the percentage that they make puts us like that.
Well, I've been talking I've lived in Alaska now for 9 years, and I've been saying this since SB 21 came out and really started to pay attention to Alaska politics. These oil companies have lawyers that have been trying to figure out how to get into this PFD for 25, 30 years. And they figured it out by getting a tax credit, which forces Alaska to use that PFD to fund what they would be getting from oil money.
Right, and there's two kinds of credits that are up here. Cashable credits, meaning whether you produced any oil or not, we would pay you the money. We got rid of them. So they have to carry those expenses forward on new fields and then deduct it from their production. But the per referral credit is what really doesn't make any sense. It gets bigger as the price goes down, so that, you know, at $105 a barrel, it's 5%,
right,
or $5 a barrel they get. But everything below $80 a barrel, they get $8 a barrel.
Really?
They can write off the taxes. And so that turns out to be about $1.2 billion more than we spend on education with going to tax credits. And people don't, and it never shows up on the budget because they get to subtract it from the big three do, from Conoco, BP, Exxon, now Hillcorp, before they submit their taxes. They subtract it from their taxes, and therefore it doesn't show up in the budget. But it's an expense item that's right there because it, and Alaska's fair share gets rid of that per barrel credit.
So this is going to be
one of the big things that does.
This is going to be a big turnout year for election. And which are we? Is this initiative on in November or in October on local elections?
It's in November.
It's in November.
It's in November.
So the hardest part of some of these is getting the word out. You've got great messaging, and I don't know that if you spoke with someone individually, they'd go, "Oh, yeah, you make a lot of sense, and this is great." But it's about getting that word out. And I see you're working hard on social media. How are you getting this message across other than radio interviews around the state to mass people?
Well, there's some ads out that have shown that, and if people want to see those little, they're almost cartoonish ads because it is so funny that Alaskans are getting screwed so badly, but they should, you know, they just run through the facts, you know.
Sure.
And so,
well, I mean, they're raising my taxes. They're trying hard. My property taxes here locally are going someday have to go up. I know the borough assembly is trying hard not to raise them, but if this continues on, I don't see how that's going to be not inevitable. And I'm not sure about up in Homer or other parts of the state, but we're getting hit locally.
Everybody's in the same position, and I wouldn't doubt that community revenue sharing, municipal systems, what you want to call it, goes away this next year. I mean, if you got a $1.6 billion deficit and no revenue source, this is the only revenue source that can come on quickly.
Right.
Because we're not creating a new tax. All we're doing is changing some rates and eliminating some really bad provisions in this bill, but we're not having to go back and do all the regulatory changes that you would have to on a new tax and all that kind of stuff. So being a reform of the existing tax is a huge benefit.
Will the legislature have to go in if this passes and fix some things? Will this force their hand as well?
Well, they might want to, but they don't have to. And if the voters vote for it and put it in, you know, they cannot repeal it for 2 years, but they can do some modifications because, you know, this is a two-page bill, so it's difficult to have everything in there. But Senator Wilikowski introduced the companion. It's all drawn up. It's all done in the by the legislative lawyers of this bill that we have in legislative language. So all of those determinations are all there. There's so much influence of by the oil companies, as you know,
that
they wouldn't even give the a hearing on the bill. So the bill has, you know, if they'd had a hearing and, you know, just moved out of a committee for just to move it along, then it would have had a fiscal note, and we could have shown exactly what was going to be there. I mean, at $60 a barrel oil, the difference is that we get the gross minimum tax now under SB 21 of $318 million. And under the Fair Share Act, it would be $1.176 billion.
Sure.
So, you know, you're talking $800 million difference, and that isn't 100% of the deficit, but it's a big chunk of it, and it can move things forward and let people start working. I mean, you know, if you create a income tax or a sales tax, they have to do something because they're going broke.
Sure.
Or they just raise the permanent fund. Or Morning Visitor.
Are they like they're rating it already?
Well, they have stuck to the 5%.
Mm-hmm.
They've stuck to that. So,
but they're taking half of it, right?
Yeah, they're taking more than that now. But mm-hmm. The thing is, that's not rating the fund.
I get
it. We're talking about going above the sustainable draw
mm-hmm.
from the earnings reserve,
which sure.
is 5%. I mean, that's in the statute, and that's been determined. But the they, you know, with an act of the legislature, they can go higher than that. They can take more and more money out of the earnings reserve.
Mm-hmm.
But that puts us in a precarious position, because if anything happens and there's an economic downturn, then what happens is there's no place for the money to come without going to the actual corpus of the fund. So
right.
if we want to see our income spiral down in the future, which is overdrawing the permanent fund, that's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only course if you, because either a sales tax or an income tax, which are the only two suggested taxes that they've, you know, have ever
sure.
been considered, they take at least 2 years to start getting money because of all the logistics and all the computer systems that have to be drawn up and all those kind of things. The oil tax is just changing the rates, eliminating a few bad provisions. That can be done, you know,
mm-hmm.
very quickly. And yep. is money that is then available. But we're just losing tremendous amount. If you look at the last 5 years, what happened was that when you talk about the credits we owe, and the net revenue is minus $16 million. For
mm-hmm.
5 years, that's a total
wow.
under SB 21.
I noticed that's not in the One Alaska ad.
No, they don't quite say that. They don't,
mm-hmm.
don't talk about the loss of revenue. Basically, we had 2 years that were almost identical within, you know, 15 cents of each of the average price,
mm-hmm.
one before SB 21 and one after SB 21, and the difference was a decline of $1.6 billion.
Representative Seaton, are you running for election this year?
No.
No.
I'm not in the legislature anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Served my 16 years.
Sure.
I have to let people know what's going on.
Yeah.
And hopefully that people can visit alaskasfairshare.com,
mm-hmm.
but no apostrophe of Alaska's.
Sure.
And get all that information and just click the Learn More tab after you look at that initial information.
Absolutely. I appreciate you coming in. Have you caught any fish? Are you catching fish this summer?
I've got my boat is out tendering,
mm-hmm.
and my son's running the boat now, so I've been doing a little dipping across the bay here and busy on home projects.
I appreciate the call, and give the website one more time.
Yes, it's alaskasfairshare.com.
I appreciate the call.
Thanks again.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks for any time. Representative Seaton calling in today to talk about coming on the ballots, Alaska's yes. Fair Share. And we've been talking about SB 21. This is really the first thing that got me going, wait, what? In politics.
It was...
Where I went, oh, hold on, what are you doing?
I remember people talking about it
mm-hmm.
and actually being somewhere where someone came to talk about it. And
yeah.
all they kept hammering on is, it's going to be great for jobs. It's going to mm-hmm. be great for jobs. And I'm like,
you're fired after
yeah,
they got
I was
way.
Like, how was that? That was not great for jobs.
Yeah, it hasn't been great for
not anything.
Everything is, we've been in decline since. The money's been
yeah.
going out the back door or to the oil companies. So you get to vote on it. It's coming up in November. It's going to be a big turnout election, too, because
mm-hmm.
it's a presidential election.